101FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Stay tuned for the Heartland Labor Forum, radio that talks back to the boss.
March, candy won, candy won. Many stones can form an arch. Singly done, singly done. And by union, what we will can be accomplished still. Drops of water turn a mill. Singly done, singly done.
Welcome to the Heartland Labor Forum, a weekly show of news, information, and commentary by and for the working people of Kansas City. This show is produced by a team of volunteers from a broad range of workplaces and unions. The views expressed on the Heartland Labor Forum are ours and not necessarily those of KKFI or any unions involved. Tonight's show is being underwritten by United Steelworkers District 11 and Blake and Ulig, PA. United Steelworkers District 11, representing 35,000 members in the Midwest, protecting workers' rights and organizing the unorganized. We support union-made products. And since 1972, Blake and Ulig has prided itself on providing comprehensive legal representation to labor organizations and their affiliated benefit funds on a local, regional, and national basis. And the Heartland Labor Forum and KKFI thank our underwriters for their support. Tonight on the show, we'll hear from candidates in seven races for the Missouri General Assembly. We'll ask them how they stand on key issues for working people, like minimum wage, unemployment, health care, gerrymandering, union rights, education, and Black Lives Matter. We won't endorse, but we will inform. And the show is a special show, which means we're not going to have the news or our feature or the calendar. We're taking the whole show to talk to candidates. And my co-host is Cortland Smith. Hi, Cortland.
Hello, Judy.
It's a pleasure to have you. Cortland's a member of the AFT. He's a teacher. Where do you teach?
Kip Endeavor Elementary.
Okay. What grade?
Fourth grade.
I bet that's tough in COVID.
It is a different experience.
Yeah.
That can be said.
It's our Missouri election special. We've picked seven House districts and invited all the candidates to participate. We've put together questions we think working people want to know about these candidates, and we're raring to go. We'll talk to the candidates for the 12th, 13th, 14th, 16th, 31st, and 53rd and 56th House districts. One is Cass County, one is Clay County, three are Platte County, one is Jackson, and one out east of here is Lafayette County. All of these races involve candidates endorsed by one or more unions, the AFL or the Kansas City Building Trades, and all of those labor-endorsed candidates accepted our invitation. A couple of others did too, but no Republicans were interested in being on our show. I don't know why. So we're skipping the news tonight and our regular feature, and we're going to go right to our candidate interviews. We'll be doing most of the interviews in pairs or threesomes, except for the first, which we had to pre-record because the candidate, Vic Abundis, is a Park Hill High School teacher, and their sports schedule has him right now working. So Vic goes first, then we're going to hear from Aaron Mays, Connie Simmons, and Cameron Pack in the 53rd District, which is Odessa and Lafayette and Higginsville. Then James Shackelford, 16th District, Clay County, Wade Kiefer, 12th District in Northeast Platte County, which is Smithville, and Neil Barnes, 56th District in Cass County, including Belton. And finally, we're going to hear from Rhonda Dolan in the 31st District, Blue Springs, and Ashley Aune in the 12th District in Southeast Platte County, where from Riverside to Lake Wacomas. So here's our interview with Vic Abundis.
We're talking in a pre-recorded interview with Vic Abundis. Vic is the candidate for the 13th District for the Missouri Legislature to become a state rep. That's in Southwest Platte County. We asked Vic's opponent, Republican Sean Pouch, to be on the show too, but he did not respond. Vic, welcome to the show, and tell us very briefly just a little bit about your background.
Well, a little bit about my background is born and raised in San Antonio, Texas. Came to Kansas City in 2001 as an AmeriCorps volunteer program. I was a legal aid assistant at Legal Aid of Western Missouri, where I was doing housing law, basically landlord-tenant agreements. And after I left Kansas City in 2002, I went back home to work for my great friend, Joaquin Castro, as a member of his staff when he was a state representative of Texas, District 125. I was his legislative director in charge of legislation that was brought before the House, and also did a number of things involving constituent affairs. So I feel like I bring a lot of experience to the table from the start.
Well, that's great. You're a member of the NEA, the National Education Association, as a teacher at Park Hill. And you said in some of your campaign literature, you said, we must put power back in the hands of workers and unions that our local economy depends on. Could you elaborate on why you think putting power in the hands of workers and unions is a key to the economy?
Well, I think putting power back, I think it involves, the first step involves the idea that unions, and I wish, you know, all organizations had the opportunity to collectively bargain, not only for better wages, but for better benefits. And I think that what we've seen on a national level, which is large tax breaks that largely go to the top 1%, have not trickled down historically the way economist Milton Friedman said they would. And teachers like me, teachers all across Missouri, folks who are working at Walmart, everyday workers, you know, workers that are using their hands, your mechanic, they're just not getting the type of economic opportunities that it seems that the wealthiest people are. And when we talk about bringing back power to the people, it's structurally, how are we going to be able to provide people with the type of wages, a living wage, so that they can adequately and appropriately live their life? You know, and I think right now what we're seeing in terms of COVID is that the economy isn't coming back as strong as President Trump would like us to believe. And I think people often conflate the economy with the stock market. The reality is Trump would have you think that we have a strong economy because the stock market's doing well. Well, not everybody has money invested in a 401k or an IRA. And the stock market isn't the economy. The working economy is utterly in bad shape right now. And we have to do something to get money into the hands of the working poor and incentivize more job retraining, I think, a whole lot of things. That
leads me to something else you've said in your campaign literature, which has to do with education, which I know is your passion.
Yes.
You've said that a lot of kids shouldn't really be going to college, and that we need to enhance vocational education. Could you talk about that a little?
I definitely think that right now, as part of my job, as you well know, as an educator yourself, teachers wear many hats, and that's certainly the case with me. I've been lucky that I've been the A-plus coordinator at Park Hill. I served in that capacity for several years. And the idea that students need to go to college right now and get in debt to the tune of $100,000. I personally went to a very, very fancy private school And I know that it's hard for me to make those student loan payments of $404 a month at a time when maybe kids would be better vested. We know that my car breaks down. I take it to a mechanic. Something's wrong with my faucet. I call a plumber. Those jobs are never going away. We're going to need that type of skilled labor. And the notion that we can just sort of take a look at your local Hy-Vee where you're zipping in and you're checking out your own groceries, that's not applicable to every job that's there. There are jobs that still, construction for one, that are going to require us to retrain people. And I think the A-plus scholarship is a great thing where students are incentivized to do community service in high school. And in return, they get 2 years paid at a local community college. Many of our kids choose to go to Maple Woods and they can get certified in being an electrician, HVAC, diesel mechanics. And truth be told, some of these jobs are very, very well paid jobs. You know, the average salary for a diesel mechanic these days is, you know, upwards of $80,000. And so what I think we've done in American education is we've created this divide between students who yearn to go to college. I'm not sure they really want to go to college for all the right reasons. I think many of them don't see education in terms of, you know, going and building on larger social skills. I always thought that college was meant to, you know, create and free the mind in my liberal education. But I do think that we need to invest money into the working class. And I think that, you know, college isn't for everybody. I teach kids every day who are making more money than me, quite frankly, being a mechanic and some of the things that I've just mentioned.
Right. One of the huge issues of the day is racism. And yes, we're seeing a widespread movement, particularly around the issue of profiling and police brutality and so on, the Black Lives Matter movement. As a state rep, what do you think your role is in dealing with this?
Well, I think my role in dealing with it is first, I think we need to acknowledge, that there are great, great cops that serve our local communities. I mean, for example, as a teacher at Park Hill High School, we are blessed to have the Platte County Sheriffs in our building serving as what we call student resource officers. And they do a great job for us. But I also think we have to acknowledge that many of the students that I teach who are Black, who are African-American, who are Muslim-American, have a natural anxiety when it comes to being around the police. Now, I will say, me personally, having been I am a Hispanic, I've been racially profiled many of times, and it's upsetting. I think one of the things that we have to do, the notion of defunding the police just seems like a wildly crazy idea to me. I don't think we need to defund the police. I think what we need to do is reappropriate and reallocate resources to training officers on how to deal with people at the community level. And one of the things I think.
That was Vic Abundis from Parkville Area 13th District. He's a labor endorsed candidate and a Democrat running against Sean Pouch, a Republican. Again, we invited Sean to be on, but he didn't respond to our email. You are listening to the Heartland Labor Forum Missouri Election Special. Next, we're going to have Lafayette County, a bit east of Kansas City, where there's a really hot race with four candidates. We have three of them: Aaron Mays, an independent and labor-endorsed candidate by the Building Trades Council, but the seat was left open by the AFCLO. Then we have Connie Simmons, who won the Democratic nomination, and Cameron Pack, the Libertarian candidate. They are all running against Republican Terry Thompson. Welcome, all of you. Each of you, if you could please introduce yourself 1 minute, telling us what qualifications you have to be a state representative. And if we could please start with Ms. Connie Simmons.
Hi, I'm Connie Simmons, and I am running for the 53rd District, all of Lafayette County, northern part of Johnson, and the eastern part of Jackson County. I am a retired school counselor, so I tell people that I am a trained listener, a trained advocate, and a trained conflict mediator. All of those skills, I think, are very important skills right now needed in Jefferson City and just needed in government in general. So I would appreciate people coming out and learning more about us and voting. Thank you.
Next, we'll have Mr. Cameron Pack.
Hello. I'm the Libertarian candidate for the 53rd District. I'm a veteran. I served with the Army and the Missouri National Guard. As a sergeant, I was put in a leadership position. I had to train younger soldiers and tell them how they needed to do things and where they needed to do them. While I was overseas, I started taking online classes and eventually started going to UCM to get my degree in social studies education. I'm currently a student teacher at Lee Summit High School. And one of the things I teach is government. And one of the things I like to promote is being a citizen and being involved in the process. And I don't want to be the guy who just talks the talk. I wanted to walk the walk. And this is one of the ways that I'm showing my students that you can be a part of the system.
Lastly, we have Mr. Aaron Mays.
Hello, I'm Aaron Mays. I'm also running for District 53 State Representative. First off, I'd like to take just a second and thank Cameron Pack for his service. Greatly appreciated. I have been the mayor here in Dover for 8 years. Prior to that, I've been on the fire department for 15 years, serving both as the captain and the assistant chief. I've been in the Union Sheet Metal District, or Union Sheet Metal Local 2, for going on 15 years now as well. And I kind of got into this 8 years ago as the mayor and just had a few issues with the state while I was the mayor. So decided to take it a little further and see if I couldn't make some changes myself. So I'd appreciate everybody coming on out. And the best thing I could say is please look into your candidate. All three of us on here, please look into us and pick your candidate that meets what you are interested in. And thank you guys also for hosting this and having us all on here. We appreciate it.
Well, of course, we're a labor forum. So our first question is, the Missouri Constitution guarantees all workers the right to organize and bargain. Yet in 2018, the legislator passed and the governor signed House Bill 1413, which severely restricted our public sector union rights. It's currently in the courts and enjoined from going into effect. Where do you stand on ensuring that our public employees can enjoy their constitutional rights?
And let me just tell you that volume seems to be low, so speak up as loud as you can, okay? Let's start with Connie.
Yes, I am actually from a union family. My dad was a lifelong union member of Carpenters Local 61 in Kansas City. And as a school teacher, I belong to a teachers union, Missouri Teachers Union. So I have a long history of supporting unions. And you know, it really upsets me when people come out and say that they want to take away the workers' rights to organize and bargain. That is what makes our system work. You know, if it weren't for unions, we wouldn't have weekends off. We wouldn't have a set work week. Anyone could make you work 24/7 if they wanted to. All of our things that we've received from unions have to be supported. They have to be taken into account. Even the pay that we get, the only reason that you get paid what you do is because a union fought for it a long time ago. So what I see is they keep trying to take away the union's powers. If that happens, I don't know what would happen with our workforce. Well, I do know what would happen. Employers would lower their wages. They would not have any rights or any of the benefits that we have now. So I am completely against what they're trying to do here.
Mr. Pack, you can go next.
So I actually agree with Connie 100%. As we saw during the industrialization before the start of unions, cronyism was huge. And they took advantage of the workers left and right. And then unions developed where you could collectively bargain and work for a better system. Employees come together and working together, that's the foundation of our workers' rights, and that needs to be protected. And I hope one day, once I pass my student teaching, to be a part of the teachers' union as well. But yes, it seems like every couple of years, Jefferson City tries to somehow sneak in there a way to take away the rights of the union, and that's not right, and they need to stop it.
Mr. Mays.
Yeah, like I said, both of them made very good points. You know, the only thing I will add to it is, you know, down there in Jeff City, it's a numbers game. They constantly play the numbers game. It's like, oh, we have the numbers, so we're going to try and slide this in there while we can do it. And, you know, last time, the citizens made it very clear that the right to work, they didn't want it. You know, weeks later, they had that bill back on there trying to get it pushed back through again. You know, why are they not representing the people down there? So I, too, you know, come from a union family. I'm union myself. They make me a very good living, and 100% I'm behind them.
Okay, great. You know, COVID-19 has really exposed the need for sick leave. We have a lot of people who have to work because they're not getting unemployment, or, you know, the unemployment ended, and so they're going to work sick. And, in fact, I think our president went to work sick, but anyway, we need paid sick leave, and our legislature doesn't seem to really think that that's a priority. Let's start with you, Aaron. Would you want paid sick leave? You're a construction worker. You guys never get paid sick leave.
No, I've actually, since I was 16, I've never had a job that had paid sick leave. I mean, I understand on the paid sick leave. I've kind of read that question. I went over it and discussed it here at home over the last few days. And when it comes to that, I see both sides. Small businesses and little places, that they're not going to be able to afford that. But the big corporations and the big companies, yeah, I mean, I can see where they can't afford it. And if they can't afford it, they should be stepping up and doing something about that. Because if you can keep your workers happy and keep them, you know, afloat, they're going to turn around and do a good job for you. And I would love to see paid sick leave. I'd also like to see, you know, we've got the Family Act already in there that says if you had to go home because a child or someone was sick, then you should have a job to come back to. Mm-hmm. And in my industry, that might not, you know, necessarily be in the construction industry if you don't have a union job that's holding your spot by seniority or whatever it might be. And you're just out there working non-union construction, you might not have a spot to come back to if you had to go out, you know, do a family medical leave or something. I mean, it's something that definitely needs to be looked into.
Thanks. And Cameron, or Cam, right? You go by Cam, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Yeah. You're a libertarian. You probably, you guys probably don't believe in those kinds of things, or do you?
So my take on it's kind of interesting. So I'm not for the government forcing companies to have paid sick leave. I'm not for that. However, if the government wanted to incentivize companies and small businesses to have paid sick leave, I think that is a great way for them to push for companies to have it. So if they were to say, let's say tax cuts, which they give to companies out the wazoo anyway, let's give it to companies who actually deserve it. Companies who treat their employees well and give them paid sick leave. Let's give them tax cuts. Not the multi-million dollar corporations that are taking profits and not giving anything to their workers. Let's leave them alone. Let's give tax cuts to the companies who care for their workers.
Okay. Connie, you get the last word.
Okay. You know, I can see both sides of this issue also. As a teacher, I was given so many sick days a year and a couple of professional days. And, you know, I saw people that took advantage of that and used all of them every year. And I think the danger that some companies are worried about doing if they give sick pay and sick leave is that some people will take advantage of it. Some people do. That's just one of the risks that you have. But we need to have a way, especially with this COVID-19, that people can stay home, get better, stay home until they are better to come back to work. One thing that comes to mind, you know, attendance policies. I know where my husband works, he works in factories. And if you miss so many days, you've lost your job. You get points for every day that you miss or every absence. And I think that especially right now, we need to take a close look at that and make sure that these people's jobs are safe when they come back after recovering and not be in danger of losing their position because they pointed out. So that's something that I think we also need to think of when we're thinking of sick leave.
office.
Okay.
So we've discussed two things that are very prevalent right now. We've discussed COVID and jobs, and then we've also discussed how it affects the union. Let's be honest. The other thing that is truly prevalent in our society right now is the issues of racial profiling by the police brutality, and I guess what would be considered the antithesis, the Black Lives Matter movement. What we want to know is, how do you feel about the policing in our cities? The Highway Patrol has been charged with racial profiling. We have ICE terrorizing immigrants. And we also have people of color inferior in avoiding law enforcement. What should the state do about this? And do you favor defunding the police or realigning the police or realigning the police unions? And let's start with Mr. Pack.
All right. So I think the first question was, what should the state do about this? So the state should make it so that whenever a lawsuit is brought towards the police, it should come directly out of the police retirement. It should not come from the taxpayer. It should come from the police departments that they're being sued for. Why does the burden fall on the taxpayer when the police are the ones who made the mistake? Also, they need to work on more community relations and try to be more positive, bring a service to the people. They're supposed to protect and serve. They're supposed to be servants. They need to go back to that type of work. And they've become way too militarized. You know, back in the 70s, they were wearing just like shirts and pants and nothing militarized. Now they have flak jackets and assault rifles, and violent crime has gone down since the 70s. So I don't know why there's such an escalation of force. The second question was that, so should we defund the police? I don't know if we should defund, but I do think we should look at their funding and what it's going towards. When I hear police departments say, we don't have enough funding for the type of training that it takes to make sure that our police are held accountable, I question that when I see them driving a 2020 Dodge Charger coming down the road. If you have enough money for a Dodge Charger, then you have enough money for training. So either one or the other, and that's all I've got.
Next, Ms. Simmons.
Yes. My sister-in-law, Nancy Bell, was a police officer in Warrensburg. So I feel very strongly about police force and not defunding them in any way possible, because I think they're underpaid as it is. But we do, I have several friends that are of color, and I am just amazed that they are so well adjusted. I know that sounds strange, but also as a high school counselor, I had students who came to me, and it just, you know, as a white person here in the middle of Missouri, I honestly cannot understand the things that they have gone through in their lives. I think that we need to hold our police accountable. We need to train them in differences, just like as a teacher. We have training each year on how to treat people, you know, and that's all it comes down to. We need to train people to be open to racial differences, to be open to sexual differences. I mean, all sorts of things. And we need to stop these people that are racial profiling and doing these things. We need to hold them accountable. One way we need to do that is by training them better, but also by whenever there is a complaint, it needs to be looked at from an outside source, okay, not from inside the department.
Thank you, Ms.
And
Simmons.
That needs to be looked at.
I didn't want to cut you off, but I wanted to make sure that Mr. Mays got the adequate amount of time, yes, and was able to finish up the conversation. So go ahead, Mr. Mays.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things, I too have family members. My uncle was the sheriff here in Lafayette County for over 30 years. And you know, things have gotten a lot better since he was a sheriff, that's for sure. And I can see where training is definitely going to be something that is needed. I mean, throughout the police force, you know, like Cam said, here they are driving 2020 Chargers. Well, maybe these guys need a little more training. Maybe we could give them a little more money and make sure that they're doing what they're paid to do. I also think the body cams, they're coming around more often. That's going to cut and dry things right there. If it's on a body cam, I mean, there's no he said, she said. That's what happened. You can't hide from that. So that's kind of the way I lean towards it. Let's try and get all the wishy-washiness out of it and get things cut and dry, and absolutely look into more training.
Well, thank you so much. We're out of time, but I want to thank Aaron Mays, Connie Simmons, and Cameron Pack for being on the Heartland Labor Forum, and I wish you all luck. I wish you all could win. But we're not taking a stand. We're just trying to get people informed. So thank you so much. Everybody stay tuned. We're going to break for an announcement, and then we're going to be talking to some other candidates. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. This is Bill Sundahl again. We've got a pledge drive coming up that begins on Monday, and that is a little out of whack for us, but I think it's going to work out really well. We, for years, have asked our weekend host to come in and ask for your support a couple of times, and so we're flipping that and asking our weekday hosts to do the same thing. So the pledge drive will begin on Monday, the 12th of October, and end on Thursday, the 22nd. You know, you'll get your chance to support your weekday shows a couple of times this drive. If you'd like to make a show of support and get the donation doubled, please let me know, and you can join the ranks of our great champions here at KKFI. My number is 816-994-7869, or you can find all about the information at kkfi.org/champion. And thank you so much to everyone who supported KKFI over the years. You're how we can make this place happen.
Every Friday morning at 9:30, you can hear Understanding Israel-Palestine Beyond the Walls. Historically mired in misinformation and cloaked in the chaos of controversy, the realities that prevail in that much too promised land and the U.S. policies, therefore, call out to be addressed in a calm yet delving fact-based fashion. Tune in on Friday mornings at 9:30 to listen to scholars, journalists, analysts, and activists who help us to understand the peoples and politics of and the possibilities for Israel-Palestine Beyond the Walls.
Okay, we're back. I'm Judy Ansel, and with me is Courtney Smith. And we are doing a candidate forum here on the Heartland Labor Forum. And our next three guests are James Shackelford, who is from Clay County, and he's in the 16th District. He's a Democrat. He's running against Republican Representative Chris Brown. He's running against an incumbent. And Wade Kiefer, who is from Northeast Platte County, the 12th District. He's running against Josh Hurlburt. And Neil Barnes from Cass County. He's in the 56th District, running against Michael Davis. Welcome to all of you. Let me make sure you're on first. James, are you there?
I'm here. Okay. Thanks for having me.
We can hear you loud and clear. Neil, you there?
Yes, I am. Thanks for having me on.
Okay. And it turns out that Wade Kiefer is right here in the studio. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Okay, so each of you, let's start with you, Wade. Introduce mm-hmm. yourself. Give us a one-minute overview of you.
Okay. Well, thanks for having me on here. My name is Wade Kiefer, and my campaign is running on a platform of education, workers' rights, and healthcare. I'm a blue-collar worker. I'm a fourth-generation union electrician. I went to Mizzou after graduating from Kearney High School. I basically lived in the district my whole life other than college, and I currently serve on the Smithfield School Board of Education. And basically, I try to be a working class candidate for working class families.
And you're a member of IBEW Local 124?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. You know, IBEW Local 124 wired KKFI when we first went on the air.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Here. No, I'm glad to be a part of it then.
Yeah. Okay. James Shackelford, tell us about you.
Perfect. So I was born and raised here in the Northland. I grew up in the Liberty School system, so it would be an honor to represent my hometown community. Like you said, I'm the Democrat running in this race. This district has been red for about 16 years. My opponent, who's also a first-time candidate, this is an open seat this year, so it's a very important election for very many reasons. Prior to running, I served 6 years with the USO organization, traveling all over the world, giving back to our military community and their families. So I'm bringing a passion for service and for giving back to the seat. I will be leading with servant leadership as I look to find the best solutions for all of our neighbors, regardless of political affiliation. It's time that we move past this party politics and we can start being, you know, neighbors and Missourians again and trusting one another. And I look forward to doing that in Jeff City.
Well, and let me add that James has a hilarious video on his website. And I bet you're the only candidate for the legislature in Missouri who actually has a funny video. I mean, most of them don't have any video, but that was pretty good.
especially the runaway lawnmower. Okay, and finally, we've got Neil Barnes. And Neil is from Cass County. And welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm a retired iron worker out of Local 10 here in Kansas City, 36-year member. And I'm still an honorary member of Local 10 Iron Workers. I'm running for the 56th District House of Representatives. I briefly served 8 years on the Planning Commission and 2 terms as city councilman in the city of Belton, Missouri. My hometown, I've lived in the 56th district for over 60 years. I now live down just north of Drexel, Missouri, out in the county, and I'm a cattle farmer on the side, like all of us, have to work 2 jobs. I know the people and the problems in my district. I think it makes me extremely qualified to serve the people in this district, and hopefully I can move forward and do that.
Great. Well, Cortland's going to ask the first question.
Gentlemen, if we could try to keep it in a minute, we just want to make sure that we can give the people as much information as we possibly can. As a teacher, public education is of course paramount to me. So Missouri ranks 37th in spending per pupil on public education, according to teachercertification.com. It is an appalling 46th in spending on higher education. What were we seeing in creeping privatization of education through neglect and defunding? Do you support this? And how would you change these statistics? Start with Mr. Barnes.
Well, for one thing, that they've cut $200 million out of this education. Every time we turn around down there, the Republicans seem to think the best thing to do is to be like Kansas. Let's cut all the taxes. Let's just keep cutting and cutting with no way to pay for it. And then we can't fund our schools. So to me, we have to make sure we keep the formula correct and fund our schools fully. If we don't do that, we're never going to get ahead of it.
All right, Mr. Shackelford, you're next.
Yes, to build off what Mr. Barnes said, I believe we do need to fully fund the formula as well. And we also, to add on to that, we need to go back to what the formula was a few years ago. They actually reduced that formula to say they were fully funding it when they actually were not. And we need to make sure that education is a top priority once again in Missouri. That starts with fully funding it, no excuses going forward when it's time to talk about the budget. And that also means paying our teachers more. I feel for all the work they do, and it's not just teaching our students. Our schools are cornerstones in our communities, and we need to make sure we're taking care of them for everything they do here in Missouri.
And Mr. Kiefer, your turn.
Yeah, as a school board member for a public school, I cannot support this move for more privatized education for many reasons. Charter school organizations have been making a push in the state legislature for several years now, and we know this. And what we have to remember is that these organizations aren't held to the same standards as public school organizations are. And they, on average, don't even perform better than public schools. And so we know what this is. We can fix this funding issue in several ways. Those who say the foundation formula is fully funded are both right and wrong, because it's actually been changed 3 times. And we know that when we do large tax cuts, as a large corporations have, they received a 20% tax break just a couple of years ago. We know exactly what that means. It means that when corporations and billionaires receive the tax cuts, what happens to working families like you and me? We have to pick up the fallen pieces and raise the property taxes, and that's what schools do. And then we pick up the pieces and we try to do the best we can, and that's how we fix this problem.
Okie doke. All 3 of you are union members. I think we didn't mention, James Shackelford, you're a member of the Actors Equity Union, is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah, for almost a decade now, my wife's in the SAG-AFTRA and Equity Union. So we've been proud union members, for about the past decade now.
Okay, and Neil Barnes is retired from the Iron Workers, and Wade Kiefer is an IBEW. So I am not going to ask you any questions about unions. Ha-ha. What I want to ask you about is health care. In August, voters passed a Medicaid expansion at long last in Missouri. And according to what was passed, it is supposed to be implemented by July of 2021. If you're elected to the legislature, what are you going to do if the governor drags his feet? Let's go with you, James.
Hold him accountable.
How?
Knocking on his door, going to the mansion, saying that he is recovered from COVID by then. I know he will be. I'm just joking about that, but it's really coming together, holding him accountable, and saying that we Missourians, a majority of us passed this, and we need to make sure we fully fund that as well. Speaking of fully funding things here in Missouri, when it comes time to make that budget next year, I know there's already been some current House Republicans who have said that maybe they won't fully fund it because they don't support it. But I know that we're going to need to, and a big way to do that going next year is to help Nicole get elected governor.
Okay, that was James Shackelford. What, how about you, Wade?
Well, I guess I would say it depends a lot on who the governor is. And it's going to make a big difference on what actions we'll take as a representative. And I know how Missourians feel. I was also laid off due to COVID, and I have the potential to lose my health care. And unfortunately, that's actually a better position than many. And unless I leave the state and work somewhere else, health care is a massive, complex issue. And work from both Democrats and Republicans is going to be needed on this. And living in my district, I know exactly what that's like, because that's what we have to do to solve our problems up in Kearney, Smithville, Platte City, Camden Point, and the Nashua area. And I have to say to them, and I'm going to also tell the governor this, people in my district voted for it, and we need to make this happen, and everyone's suffering, and no better time than right now to get this done. And so when Missourians rose up and demanded our tax dollars to come back to our state to make us healthier, but that's only the start. We also need to make sure our rural areas, ex-urban areas, and our urban areas all have access to doctors and preventative care, because everyone can see a doctor before they're sick. All costs go down.
Okie doke. And finally, Neil, you get the last word on this one.
Yeah, we passed the Medicaid expansion in Missouri, and I think that was a great thing. And we needed to go down there and do like James and other candidates all say that we need to go down and fully fund it. And if the governor decides not to do that, we need to take it public. We need to get it out and let the people decide what they want to do and put on him any way we can. And Nicole Galloway, if we can get her elected as governor, I think that's going to be one of the best ways we can ensure that this does get funded.
So, gentlemen, unfortunately, we want to make sure that we can give everybody a chance to know all the candidates. So we're going to have to hold the response to this last question for 30 seconds, but we'll just make it very simple. Clearly, we have a problem with people of color in this nation not feeling a part of the fabric of this nation. So how would you, as a member of the legislature, make sure that people of color within Missouri feel a part of Missouri? And we'll start with Mr. Barnes.
No. Well, for one thing, I think we need to take the police violence into consideration, and I think we need to fund the police department better than it is, and I think that will help with that issue. The police need to police themselves somewhat. I think we need to hire more mental health workers, and I think we need to hire some social workers and put them with the police so that they're not trying to be police, social worker, mental health care workers. And then we need to include the Black community in those decisions. We need to make maybe some community meetings and get those people involved and let them help us make some decisions on how we handle that problem.
Mr. Kiefer, you can go.
Okay. So like I said, I grew up in Kearney, and I'm not going to try and pretend that I, in a suburban community, as a white man, I don't understand fully the journey an African makes in their community, especially when they meet law enforcement officers. But I will say I have no qualms about saying that presuming something about someone based on their race, their religion, where they live, or their background is unacceptable. And when we treat others like that, we all lose. And I will stand all for human decency and Missourians, and I'll fight for Black lives in the Missouri legislature.
Mr. Shackelford, last word.
Yeah, first and foremost, it's reaching out to our Black and brown communities and members here in our district and just asking them, asking them their journeys and their experiences. What is it that they need, to feel a part of Missouri? Because a lot of them have not. To me, that's also building off of what my two counterparts have just said. I think we need to reinvest in our Black and brown communities as well, and provide much needed community resources that a lot of these communities have lacked for so long.
Okay. Okay. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time. And, this is just a teaser, because all of you have a lot of really interesting things to say. So I suggest that people go to your campaign websites. Let me repeat that we are, KKFI is a nonpartisan, and this show is nonpartisan. We are not endorsing anyone. We invited all of the candidates for all of your races. These are the folks that responded to our invitation, and we thank you very much for being on the Heartland Labor Forum. Up next, we're going to have a couple of women. Finally.
Thank you, sir.
So once they unmute themselves, we will introduce them. Do you want to do the introductions?
I can. All right. So we have Ms. Rhonda Dolan of Blue Springs 31st running for against Dan Stacy.
He's a Republican.
And Ashley.
Tell us, Ashley, how do you say it? Oh, we can't hear you.
No, we're still having.
We're not hearing you.
So as a teacher, I'm used to this. You may want to, it may be where you have to pull out the headphones. Sometimes the computer is not synced. See if that would work. Can you, no?
No.
Rhonda, can you hear me?
Yes. We can hear you now.
Oh, okay. Weird. Sorry, guys. It's Ani.
We did not want to mispronounce it, so we wanted to give you that privilege. Ashley Ani, and running in the Southeast Platte 14th District against Eric Holmes. If both of you could just use a minute to tell us why you believe that you have the qualifications to be a state representative, and we'll start with Ms. Ani.
Well, thank you so much for having us on this evening. I really appreciate it. My name is Ashley Ani. I am the Democratic candidate for state representative in District 14, like you said, here in the Northland of Kansas City. I'm a small business owner. I'm a wife and I'm a stepmom to a fifth grader. I've spent my career in marketing and advertising, and that led me to opening my own marketing agency in 2018. And I operate that out of the Northland, actually out of my home. It is a virtual agency. My family would not be where they are today without my grandfather, who was a member of the Painters and Drywalls Finishers Local 79 in Colorado Springs. He had 13 children to support. So he had a family of 15, and with those benefits, he was able to support his family and put a roof over their head and food on the table. It was incredible and amazing. And I know that his experience is really why my mom had the opportunity she did and why I'm here today. I'm proud to be endorsed by several unions, including AFL-CIO, UAW, MNEA, IBEW, Carpenters Regional, Greater Kansas City Buildings and Trades Council, CWA. I mean, I could go on. It's just letters at this point. But
and Ms. Dolan, if you could talk.
Absolutely. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Wonderful. Well, good evening, everyone. I want to thank KKFI and the Heartland Labor Forum for hosting this valuable forum tonight. My name is Rhonda Dolan. I'm running for House District 31. I am a business owner. I'm a mother of three and a community volunteer. As a former teacher and a professional consultant and entrepreneur, I bring a unique set of skills to the General Assembly, hopefully. My entire career has been about managing change, finding opportunity and solutions where others could not, and do so with consensus to find outcomes and usually under budget. As a single parent of three and a business person, I understand the value of strong fiscal management, planning for all scenarios, and providing true compassionate leadership over self-interest. And I believe that for Missouri to thrive, we must have government for all rather than government that benefits a few. It's my hope that I'll have the opportunity to provide transparent, ethical, and straightforward representation for the people of the 31st District. And I do encourage folks to go to dolanformissouri.com to learn more.
Okay, great. Ashley, you are running in Blue Springs against an incumbent, Dan Stacy. Rhonda Dolan is running against Dan Stacy. And I remember Dan Stacy unseated a previous representative who was a Republican who voted against right to work, and she was penalized for that. And he came in and was a big supporter of right to work. So let me ask you, if you could talk a little bit about the record of Dan Stacy and how you're different.
Absolutely. It's the reason I'm running. Representation is literally to represent, uphold, and champion the will and the voice of the people. Unfortunately, in our district, the opposite of that has been happening. We'll use the so-called right to work legislation as an example. He came in as a right to work supported candidate. And the fact is that 70% of our district voted against right to work legislation. And he continues to be in support of those types of legislation. For example, HB 1413, he voted for that, where the vast majority, decisive majority of his constituency is not. We value our public schools, our public school teachers here in the 31st, as we do throughout the state. And he continues to work to pull public resources away from public education and into voucher and statewide charter schools without the same accountability requirements or duly elected board.
Okay, thanks.
Those are the things that are concerning and why I'm running.
Okay. And Ashley, you are not running against an incumbent, but tell us what was your district's stance on right to work? And I don't know who your current representative is. It must be somebody who's term limited, right?
So it's actually Representative Matt Sain, who flipped this seat in 2018. He just decided not to seek re-election this year. Our district, the 14th, we also voted overwhelmingly to strike down right to work. It is very clear how the people in the 14th district feel. And to be honest, I genuinely don't know how my opponent feels about labor issues at all. What I will say is that I am a huge champion of workers and workers' rights and defending right to work legislation, or fighting against right to work legislation is a huge priority for me, and it will continue to be if I get elected and go down to Jeff City.
So we've been talking about the right for workers, but before you become a worker, you have to, get your education. So this question is going to be on education. Now, Missouri ranks 37th in spending per pupil on public education, and it is appalling 46th in spending on higher education. Due to that fact, when you're in the legislature, do education funds? Are you primarily just for college, or do you also support trades and other forms of education? And I'll start with Ms. Ashley.
So I believe that we need to be investing in education at every level, from pre-K through college, through trade union or trade schools. It is so crucial that we give folks in Missouri opportunities, varied opportunities. College isn't for everyone. We heard Vic say that earlier on the show. And making sure folks have opportunities to earn a living and gain the skills needed for that in any way they can is hugely important. And I think that Missouri needs to be investing in those opportunities as well.
Ms. Rhonda, your turn.
Absolutely. I'm going to echo a lot of what Ashley has stated. I've had the opportunity to travel the country, actually, and looking at workforce development programs, career and college academies in high schools and even middle school levels. And I've had the opportunity to help to implement that here in the region in a local school district. I support universal pre-K, elementary, secondary, and higher education. And workforce development, a good portion of my career has been focused around workforce development for all. Diversity is important, and diversity in our opportunities for career, work, life balance, all of those things are so vitally important. And when we have a healthy workforce, we have a healthy economy and a healthy community. We have lost massive amounts from our higher education, and that incorporates all kinds of higher education, post-secondary, including workforce development. And we have done some really good things in the state of Missouri in workforce development, but there's much more we can do. And I believe that leadership and innovation happens when we bring together experts openly to find solutions that benefit our broader communities. And I absolutely believe that's very important and vital to education and all forms of education.
Okay, great. We have only 2 minutes left, and I'm going to ask you a toughie. What do we do about Black Lives Matter? We have major problems with people feeling unsafe because they're minorities, and they feel that the police are not treating them fairly. We have immigrants who are scared to death of ICE. And we have highway patrol that, you know, I have friends who are Latinos who talk about driving while brown. And so we have lots of issues having to do with law enforcement. On the other hand, we have police unions who defend the police. I'd just like to get a 2 minute, no, 1 minute, sorry. 1 minute thoughts on that. And we'll go with Rhonda Dolan from Blue Springs first.
Sure. I'll start this by saying I was a police spouse for 15 years, so I know a little bit about that lifestyle. But I want to begin by saying that I personally cannot know what it's like to be Black or Brown in America. It's an experience that I cannot have, but what I can do and what we all can do is to listen openly, trust the experiences of others, and help find solutions for all. As a person, I'm committed to equity and equality and upholding and advancing the dignity of every person. We do not have that thoroughly in our country right now or in our state, and it is something that we must address. We've gotten in this terrible habit, I think, of having either or positions. Opposing things can actually be true simultaneously. We can recognize the need for improvements and the need for desperate change while not completely playing down or refuting an entire organization and entity. I am a both and leader, not an either or leader. And we must negotiate change by including all parties at the table, not trying and openly not to say, well, if you say something bad here, then that means you are totally disagree with police officers. You want to defund them. I don't agree with defunding the police, but I do believe we absolutely need reform. And our neighbors and our friends have shown that to us. And it is our job to listen and learn. And we
Yes, absolutely. So the way I feel about the Black Lives Matter movement and what is happening in our country is what we're seeing is experiences finally coming to light. This is not new in our country. This has been going on for generations, and we have got to stop and listen and address it. One of the biggest, best ways I think we can do that is to really enforce anti-racist work, educating folks on how to address racism when they see it. And that needs to start young. It needs to start when we're educating kids. And we need to incorporate that into workforce development as well when we're talking about police officers and training and things like that.
Okay, thank you. That was Ashley Auney. And we're out of time. Thank you both, Rhonda Dolan and Ashley Auney, and you've been listening to the Heartland Labor Forum. Tune in next week. We're going to be imagining a post-COVID future. We're going to have a roundtable discussion. One of our guests is going to be the president of the AFL-CIO, Duke. And thanks to tonight's engineer, Keith Washburn, and stay tuned for the Thursday night special. Listening to the Heartland Labor Forum, a show by and about workers, our workplaces, and our labor movement. We are radio that talks back to the boss, and you can talk back too. Send us your workplace stories, news, and ideas for shows to heartlandlaborforumkkfi@gmail.com. Our website, where we archive shows and post our upcoming schedule, is heartlandlaborforum.org. The views expressed on the Heartland Labor Forum are ours and not necessarily those of KKFI or any of the unions involved. Tune in every Thursday evening to the Heartland Labor Forum at 6 o'clock or to our Friday morning rebroadcast at 5 o'clock right here at 90.1 FM KKFI. The conditions where you come from.